Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's service. This service being videoed for the first time. And as we come to God's Word, as we look at what Scripture has to say to us, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your wonderful Word. We thank you that it comes alive for us, to us. And Lord, we ask that your Word would breathe life into us today. Father, help us to hear what you have to say through your word to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this morning we're going to talk about some New Testament truths, but I'm going to base this from a reading in the Old Testament from Jeremiah chapter 30 verses 18 to 19, which says this. This is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. From them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers and they will not be decreased. I will bring them honour and they will not be disdained. Now, I want to start this morning by saying that the more often I read it, the more I find that the Word of God is absolutely amazing. Now, of course, I hope that you agree with me, but let me tell you a little bit about why I say this today in particular. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Good news to all humanity. This being the case, you might think that it's a little bit odd that our reading was from the Old Testament, and that I intend to use this scripture to explain the heart of the New Testament. It might seem especially odd as our reading was written some 600 to 650 years before Jesus was even born. So how on earth can the Old Testament, and this passage from Jeremiah in particular, tell us anything about the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ and the new life he brings to all who follow him? Well, this shouldn't really be that surprising. After all, it was the Old Testament that the apostles used to explain everything that had happened to them as they followed Jesus, as they saw his ministry unfold, as they witnessed the crucifixion, and as they saw the risen Christ. They'd seen Jesus fulfill Scripture and demonstrate that he is the good news, and has been, actually, since the very beginning. Did you know that after Jesus returned to heaven, the gospel was spread to all known corners of the world in a single generation? Isn't that amazing? And this was able to happen by the working and power of the Holy Spirit through the church. The Holy Spirit gave them the power, the energy, the dynamism, everything that they needed, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, good news for all, was preached everywhere. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us that Scripture was written for our instruction so that we can stand and not fall. Here is what he says in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 to 12. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of all the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. This same message is seen in our text from the prophet Jeremiah. It's a good example and illustration of the good news of Jesus. Even though it comes from a prophet who's often much more remembered for his prophecies of judgment that God asked him to bring to the people than the hope given here in this particular message. Yes, here you see is a real message of hope. A very real message that chimed with all those who heard it, and a message that is the very essence of good news, Jesus Christ. Let's read it again. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 18 to 19. This is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tent and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. From them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers, and they will not be decreased. I will bring them honour, and they will not be disdained. Now, the rebuilding of the city is talking about the city of Jerusalem. And the palace is talking about the palace in the temple palace. Places that had been destroyed, had been razed to the ground, were no more than rubble. And God says, they'll be rebuilt. And that's what I want us to notice first. Who it is that is going to do the rebuilding. You see, this particular passage of scripture begins with these words. This is what the Lord says. These are God's own words to his people at that time, to those who heard the gospel of Jesus Christ firsthand, and to us as well. The question is, are we listening? And do we understand? Because when we do, we'll plan our lives in accordance with what God is saying, instead of planning our lives based on our own ideas and imaginations. And that's really important, especially right now. And did you know, Jesus said exactly the same thing to the church. Revelation 3:22 says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." If we would truly stop for a moment, if we would pause from our human endeavours, if we would truly focus on God and really listen and hear and understand, then we would act on the truth of God and his word. Now, what the Lord is saying through Jeremiah is that out of the old, that is, out of the ruined past, he is going to restore. He is going to renew what was destroyed. Now, he says that Israel is going to come back out of captivity. And that when they do, when they come back to the promised land, Jerusalem will be rebuilt from out of its ruins. In fact, the wording actually says that it will be built on its ruins. You know, in those days, hey, much the same as it's been throughout the ages, cities were built and rebuilt time and time again in the same place, on the same old ruins. Even today in Israel, there are always archaeological excavations going on, and they're known as tells, which is a Hebrew word for mounds. These are cities that are continually rebuilt on top of the debris and ruin of their past. And so the Lord says he is going to restore, and yet more than restore, he's going to make it new. Now do you see? This is exactly what Jesus does in our lives. He builds a brand new life on the ruins of the past. He doesn't remove that life from its past. Rather, he allows that life to be renewed and completely changed because of its past. And the reason it's built on its past is so that we might never stop thanking God for restoring us from our ruined past. That we might never forget that it is God himself who has brought us out of the ruins that we have created in our lives. My old past, oh hallelujah, my old past, that car crash that has been my life at points, is rebuilt in perfect newness when I give my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice that God never changed where Jerusalem physically sat. It's still there, in the same place, even today. He didn't say to them, go and build on that lovely bit of land just down the road. Rebuild the city where there is no past. Instead, he said, Jerusalem will be restored and rebuilt on its ruins, from the very stones and the very material that had been torn down by the enemy. Jerusalem was the prize, you see, the jewel of the nation of Israel. It had a commanding presence with its walls, towers, buildings, and God's holy temple. It was a city that couldn't easily be conquered. And yet the sin of the people, their own deliberate disobedience and the neglect of God's commandments had left the city and its defences weakened. until at last the enemy was able to attack and break through and eventually leave behind a ruined city, broken down walls and a destroyed temple. All that the Jews had boasted about for centuries was now nothing more than a huge pile of rubble. Its glory departed and its greatness gone. And when you think about that picture, doesn't that so easily remind us of our lives? You see, in the beginning, God made humanity perfect, created us in his image and his likeness. He also gave us rule over the earth. And so, like Jerusalem and the temple, humanity was to stand over all of God's creation. And further than that, God gave us power. But like the children of Israel, Adam and Eve were careless with the authority that God had given them. And they allowed the enemy in, and the fall of humanity from its great height was the end result, leaving humanity's soul and spirit in ruins. But the good news is that God does not want us to stay in that condition. He's already put into place Jerusalem's renewal. That, on its ruined past, he wants to rebuild his city and his temple. Do you know, in the same place, God has put into place for our renewal. And he says that out of our ruined past, he wants to rebuild our soul and our spirit. You see, the soul of humanity has fallen and is in a ruined state. But as Jeremiah had prophesied, God wants to restore us, to bring us back from this captivity we've become enslaved in, slaves to sin and death. And he wants to rebuild his city and temple in our lives. How can such rebuilding happen? Jesus said it like this in Revelation 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Folks, I want to tell you all today, Jesus is standing outside many, many hearts today knocking, asking to be let in. And that's because he wants to do a miracle of regeneration and renewal and restoration. He wants to do the impossible in our lives. He wants to rebuild what the enemy has destroyed. He also wants us to speak to him about our deepest and most troubling needs. And he comes to us when we're helpless and at our most vulnerable and miserable and announces his plans to rebuild and to restore Jerusalem in our souls and the temple in our spirit. But in order to do this, he needs to bring us back and have the rubbish and ruins of our former lives cleared away through confession and repentance. And then, on the same site and from that ruined past, a new city and a new temple can be built. You see, in the end, what clears away our ruined past so that God can rebuild within us and give us that new heart and new spirit that we talked about last week is nothing less than Jesus Christ. For on the cross where Jesus died, he bore my sins and yours, and he died in our place so that we can be made new and restored. Upon that cross, we have the ability to have that rubbish, that debris cleared away, the ruins of our sin and disobedience cleansed, taken away, until just as God has promised, a new Jerusalem will be built on the site of its past ruins. And so God will make all who come to him through his Son, Jesus Christ, a brand new creation, where the old is past and gone and all things become new. You may remember that scripture from last week. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. You know, in all that we've heard today, in all that we've been hearing since the beginning of the pandemic, comes a call from God for each and every one of us. To those who don't know him yet, he says, let me in. To those who know him already, he says, we need to change our ways. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. You know, over the last few months, a passage of scripture just keeps on coming back to me and coming back to me again and again. And in a message just this last week, a young lady sent me this same passage. And I want us to hear it now. We, God's people, need to hear this message, and I want us to own it as individuals and as a church. The verses are 2 Chronicles 7, verses 13 to 16. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may live there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. Now hear. This is God's promise, and it's a promise that he gives to each and every one of us. He wants to give us all a new beginning. He wants to give us all an amazing comeback. He wants to rebuild us on the ruins of the past so that he gets the glory, for he alone is worthy. He wants each and every one of us to live in victory as new creations. He wants us all to live a life free from the bondage of sin. He wants us all to be restored, rebuilt, renewed. But we have to change. We have to be humble and pray. We have to seek him like we've never sought him before. We need to let go of the rubbish. We need to put down our sin. He stands at every door right now. Whether we've known him for 50 years or more, or if we don't yet know him as Lord and Saviour. And he says he will restore the years that the locust has devoured. He says he will be with us as we go through this tough time. He says he will give us victory over fear and anxiety. He says he is with us so that we need never be alone. He says he has the answer to all of our problems. We would just let him in and allow the rebuilding to commence. He says he has chosen each and every one of us, and he wants our lives to be his temple. He wants his name to live within us forever and ever. And you know, the more I see of this, the more I realize that there is so much that Christ wants to do in us and through us, through you and through me. He wants to see prisoners set free. He wants to see chains broken. He wants to see lives restored and rebuilt. He says, are we willing to change? Are we willing to let him come and rebuild? Will we be a part of his plans? Will we turn to him now and give our lives to him afresh or for the first time? And as we think about this, as we think of what this means to us, let's just sit for a moment. Let's just soak in what God is saying to us. Let's listen for his voice. And then we'll pray. Lord God, thank you for your eternal word. Thank you that it is a living word. And thank you, Father, that you speak to us today through this word. Father, thank you for words of the Old Testament that are the heart of the New Testament. That you want to rebuild our lives on the ruins of our past. Father God, I ask now that many hearts will be open to you. That you might come in and start to build. To begin that process of regeneration. I ask, Lord, that many who perhaps in the past have always shied away will open their hearts to you, perhaps for the first time. Father, thank you that you have the ability to rebuild us from the ruins of our past. Thank you that you can take away our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh. Hearts that beat to your beat, Lord. And so, Father God, I ask that you do this work of renewal and restoration within our hearts today, Lord. And Father, I ask that you might come into my heart once more, again, Lord. That this rebuilding, this regeneration process might start in me and my brothers and sisters. That our numbers might not be decreased. That we may not be disdained. But that your name will be glorified in this place. In everything that we do. In our lives. In our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on us.